30 years.
Sounds like they've been.
I love your band.
Yeah, that's why we're gonna put it up.
But you never could, I always did.
I'm going to get the check.
With that, I'll go to the.
They may use it for.
No. He'll get so much.
Oh, okay. He gives me so much. I don't want to.
He started out slow.
Well, they were looking at a newer.
Right.
Well, he came
really
all
the same
up.
Thing, and they said they don't
want
to do
it. Yeah, he came in there.
Same, like, I almost jumped in the second floor when I walked in there, and she was like, the amount of
thinking about me and going to take it off. I thought you were going to work in that range. I thought maybe. Well, I know there was like a 5-hour Pawn Stars marathon. I don't know if you watched that.
I threw it up against the wall. I was so mad.
Plastic liner.
Do you guys ever think of moving that just your app? I mean, your program.
I'm not sure. Oh, she had a great time. She had, you know, she loves New York Halloween Party, and that was fun. And then we went and did some cool things in AR, and then...
Oh, yeah, she's a...
Oh, yeah. Kowalka. Yeah, John was one of the Kowalkas, so... he's really...
He's been a lot of...
And then
he's got any leaves.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get the meeting called to order here. I'm short a few council members to get a quorum, but as soon as I get seven here, we'll entertain a motion on our minutes. So let the record reflect right now, we have Smiley, Retta, Street, Weiner, Cartier. We got seven now.
Motion.
And Councilwoman Diller.
Motion on the minutes.
Second. On the minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, minutes are adopted. Just a little housekeeping. Please remind everybody to turn off your cell phones and pagers or put them on vibrate. They are distracting when they go off during the meeting. We do have an agenda. We will be hearing to it and moving through it. When I move to the public or you, please raise your hand to be called on. Do not speak out. And also, please state your name before speaking. Our recorder does not know who you are, even though we do. First item on the agenda, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. This is the plan for AI DuPont Hospital for Children. It has been well received by the community, fully vetted by the media community. There's been a meeting on site which I organized. A couple dozen people showed up. They just had questions concerning when is it going to start and when is it going to be completed. But as you're going to see from counsel for the applicant, it's going to be a beautiful edifice, and it will be a nice amenity for one of the top eight hospitals in the country in children's hospitals. So I'm anxious for her to make a presentation. That's all I'm going to say, Wendy.
Let the record reflect, Councilman Holland's here. You know, I too am excited about this. I mean, obviously AI is a niche in our community and takes care of our future, our children. So they'd like to come forward. Councilman Bell has joined us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you buy these things?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, members of council. We're really here for the workshop, of course, to answer your questions, but Councilman Weiner asked me to make a brief presentation, so I will do that. I'm Wendy Stabler. I'm with Saul Ewing. I'm here for AI DuPont Children's Hospital with the Morris Foundation. I have with me Art Brinkworth, who's here with the foundation, as well as Steve Johns, our civil engineer from Vandermark and Lynch. Here's a bit of a cartoon. Steve has the record plan. I think I'll send a copy to all of you. The purpose here is just to show you the focus of the expansion project. We call it the Pavilion expansion. Just to orient you, this is up this way is Rockland Road. This way is Route 141. And as you all probably know, it's about a 315-acre parcel of land upon which is situated both the hospital and the Nemours Mansion and Gardens. The primary access for the hospital is off of Children's Drive and Rockland Road. The hospital has been there since about 1940, and it was built pursuant to the terms of Alfred I's will, which he mandated that there be a hospital and institution to focus on the care of children. Since that time, Alfred I. DuPont has become one of the foremost institutions. They're in the top eight in some of the pediatric specialties, including oncology, orthopedics, and what's the other?
Cardiology.
Cardiology. So the purpose of this expansion, it's about a 465,000 square foot expansion. The primary focus is the pavilion, which is here. Here's the existing building. This will be located to the back. The primary purpose, actually, of this project is to convert the existing semi-private rooms to private rooms. And it will ultimately result in an expansion of 52 beds at the hospital and the addition of the exam rooms to the emergency room. We think those primary facets of this project, including associated parking and stormwater management, will greatly enhance our ability to compete with others such as CHOP in the region. The focus now is a very holistic approach to child care, recognizing that it's not just the child, but it's the family that is being attended to in these facilities. And so the efficiency of delivering the service has found to be much better if there are private rooms, and all of the institutions actually are going to the private room standard. So really what we're doing is shifting a lot of space around and converting the existing semi-private rooms to private rooms. I'm here to answer any questions you might have. As you probably read in the press, there are several hundred million dollars of investment going into this project, several hundred construction jobs. In the long term, it's about a 10-year expansion project. We anticipate several hundred new full-time jobs. In the short term, there will be very modest employment growth, but really over the long term, as this project proceeds, we anticipate that we could have very, very solid growth. Yes, Councilman.
Yes.
Ms. Stabler, I share your enthusiasm in this, but as chair, I'll, just to keep everything organized and
please,
kind of flowing.
Yeah,
right.
Sorry.
Thank you. Questions for members of council? Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wendy, could you describe the beautiful glass-enclosed atrium, which will really be a center point visually impactful for both children and their families?
It's a five-story building that will be to the rear of the existing hospital. This is a architect's rendering of the building. There will be parking in the basement. It'll be a partially finished basement. It'll be a five-story pavilion. So that's the depiction there.
Yeah. Councilman Smart.
Yeah, just a follow-up.
Follow-up.
Comment, and that is, we've had a visual tour, you know, CAD generated, and the views from inside are stunning. And a hospital is not the kind of place that a child would want to go to. It's a traumatic experience, but to the extent that it can be ameliorated, this building will help soften the blow of a child having to go to a hospital.
It's probably more about how many toys they have there. aesthetics of it. I know when I took my daughter there and she had a broken arm, she was more worried about playing with her arm on the stuff they had in the waiting room than it was about the facility. Councilman Smiley.
I just want to comment. The plans look good. The artist renderings look good. That's all well and good. I just want to tell you, from someone who's had family perpetually involved in taking the services at this hospital since 1973, I could care less if it's a box.
Yeah.
It's what's inside that has sold that facility to the community. Some people may look at what's on the outside, but when you've got children, you've got family inside, my friend, that's where it counts. They do an outstanding job, looks very nice, and yeah, it's pleasant when the child can look outside and everything else, but it's what's inside those walls that makes it a neighbor to the community and the people of Delaware. And I applaud them for that.
I have Councilman Street and Councilman Bell. Councilman Street.
Probably only you and that hospital could get Street, Smiley, and Weiner to agree on anything.
And that, we're leaving.
You might want to call for the vote.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ditto on the comments that have been made so far, personal experience within the family, on the interior and the type of treatment and care that's given here. One of the things, and I think that we've all spoken this particular thing, and that is today's economy, large-scale project, bringing jobs to Delaware. We need to put Delaware back to work. We need to have a diverse construction team helping with this building. Put a lot of pride into it and everything, but we need to look after the first state and especially Newcastle County. to building the structure and diversity.
Thank you.
Additional questions from members of council? Councilman Weiner?
Yes, I just want to thank Linda Moore's team for involving the parents and the children in the design of this. It's amazing, as much as you considered yourself experts, the modifications that were made that are really utilitarian based upon input from the families and the children.
Questions from members of the public? Seeing none, Wendy, you expect to be on the next council agenda if all goes well.
Thank you very
much. Thank you. And please let the record reflect President Kovac has joined us. Next item on the agenda, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the plan of Bayberry Town Center. And as you know, we've had several presentations made. We have Jay Sinecha, the actual developer, as well as legal counsel representatives here today that will actually speak to the project. And I'll make some further comments as we go along.
Thank you. This time we invite the applicant forward.
My name is Jay Sinecha, and with me today is our engineer, Dave Sitterman. With me is Dave Sitaram from Gatington Associates, engineering firm for the project. Jeff Siemens, who is our land planner, landscape architect. And Reverend Scott Berkeley, who is a neighbor and a valued supporter for the last 8 years. Thank you. What I'd like to do, we're here to present the record plan for Bayberry Town Center. And just by way of history, the council approved the rezoning of this parcel, about 70 acres, from suburban to CR, regional commercial, back in 2008. So since 2008, we've gone through a very careful process of preparing engineering plans and obtaining the approval of various agencies. Along the way, we have gotten good support from neighbors. The school district, which has three schools diagonally across from us, pre-K, elementary, and middle school, took the rare step of issuing a support letter for our plan, because the plan, among other things, corrects one of the deficiencies in Southern Nicholson County: too much residential development and not enough non-residential. So the school district came out very supportive of our efforts, expands their tax base, and of course creates facilities and amenities right near them. Reverend Berkeley has been very supportive. Newcastle Presbytery, the church, is immediately west of where we're proposing to develop the town center. And as Reverend says from time to time, we are both practicing the exercise of community building. So you've been very supportive. Thank you. Before I get into the details of the town center, I'd just like to orient the council as to the location and the regional context. So the town center is part of Bayberry Master Plan Community, which is a 1,600-acre assembly that we did to develop a master plan community. So this is not your run-of-the-mill shopping center. We actually are building a community with a huge diversity of homes. All told, it'll be about 2,700 homes in completion. Lots of open spaces, hundreds of acres of open spaces, both passive and active. A lot of amenities within the community that are recreational, near park-like atmosphere, lots of walkability, nearly 6 miles of hiker-biker trails within the community. So those are the Bayberry North and Bayberry South. And then, of course, there's the town center. Location-wise, town center is located along Voyage Corner Road, which connects Route 1 and 13 to the east of it, and Route 896 to the west of it. So it connects two very important major highways with an important artery. In terms of road network, We are also about a mile south of the future interchange for Route 301. We all know about the 301 project and it's in the works. So this is, there's going to be an interchange that is about a mile north of our property. So schools are nearby. Pre-K, elementary, and middle schools for Appaquin School District are located right here. I mentioned the church. So it's we're really very proud of what we think will ultimately become a very well-rounded community, not just a collection of homes, but a true community. I'll next shift to Bayberry Master Plan. Once again, these are the 1,600 acres that we assembled. The council in 2007 approved the record plan for what we call Bayberry North and Bayberry South, which together will offer nearly 2,100 homes. Again, lots of diversity of housing, lots of open spaces, a community park at the entrance, lots of water features all across. And tying it all together is Bayberry Town Center, which is very immediately accessible by our internal street network. So on the north side, we anticipate nearly over 2,000 homes that would all be able to access the town center without ever going onto a public road. On the south side, about 1,200 homes will find their access just by crossing Poets Corner Road. So good connectivity, good features within the community. And now let's shift to the town center. Again, the property is located along Poets Corner Road and just south of the residential community and close to the north. We plan to develop the property in a town-like fashion. So this is not your routine shopping center. We actually have hired a planning firm that has a lot of experience in development of town centers. And what we are proposing here is an old town-like main street running north-south, another main street running east to west. Along the main street here is about 320,000 square feet of retail, starting with a grocery store, a bank, we envision a couple of restaurants, and then variety of shops and cafes that will serve not only Bayberry, but the larger neighborhood around it. On the northerly edge, we have proposed a department store type of setup, but more recently, as part of the discussions of the regional library for Newcastle County, we've offered up this site as a potential site for Southern Newcastle County Regional Library. Along with the retail uses, we also believe in enhancing the community uses. So we have actually a memorandum of understanding we've signed to offer 18 acres of land onto our property for the YMCA. The YMCA that was done in Bear, about 80,000 square feet, is hugely successful, very popular. It has a lot of its users from Middletown and Southern Newcastle County. So they get inquiries all the time about possibly doing a YMCA in Southern Newcastle County. Of course, the funding climate is challenging because we don't have a time table. But we are very proud to offer as a community asset 18 acres of land to what we hope will become a very large YMCA. So together with the library, the YMCA, we think there's a good balance of commercial uses with community uses. We will also offer about 180,000 square feet of office space as part of the town center development. The property is very well connected through a system of internal streets as well as hyperbiker trails, so people can get to it using a variety of transportation modes, and that's a very key feature. Even inside town center, it is very walkable. Its sidewalks are going to be nearly 20 feet wide, which offers space for shoppers to keep their merchandise. It's a pedestrian zone as well as a landscaping zone. So it's designed to feel very much like the main street of an old town. We will develop it block by block, so as to manage the development to keep pace with market demand. each block is parking self-sufficient. So if a user came to this block, they're able to stay within that block. But the convenience factor is that because a variety of users are nearby, people can get around within the center. A potential user going to YMCA before leaving the property can go to the grocery store, department store, library, whatever this becomes. So the collection of uses will reduce trips onto external roads. What the town center also does is, because Southern Nicholson County does not have a lot of non-residential facilities, today if you live somewhere near Bayberry, you go either 9 miles north to Glassboro, 7 miles west to west of Middletown for major retail, or 3 miles to the nearest grocery store. So in developing our concept, we have attempted to correct the deficiency, and at full build-out, it would be about 560,000 square feet. Again, good balance of retail, office, and athletic. Along the way, we also had the opportunity to work with Governor Berkeley. As part of the transportation improvements, one of the things we are going to partner with DelDOT to do is to relocate Jameson Corner Road. If you are coming in from Middletown and you consider going to go north, Jameson Corner Road does not align and it doglegs at Boyd's Corner Road and Cedar Lane Road. So part of the safety and transportation improvements that DelDOT has planned is to realign Jameson Corner Road so it lines up with Cedar Lane Road. Well, in the process, Presbytery's property would be divided up in half. It would be on both sides of the realigned road, rendering the east side of the property somewhat unusable. And what we have done is a land swap agreement where we would take some of Presbytery's land on the east side of what we relocated road and offer up land adjacent to them on the west side of the road, keeping them whole and keeping the property usable. So it's been a good partnership of purpose, and we are pretty happy and proud about that. A number of transportation improvements are planned as part of the development of the town center. I already referred to realignment of Jameson Corner Road. We're also going to be contributing to widening of Boyd's Corner Road and realign Shell Cross Lake Road in the area. So there are a number of safety and transportation enhancement improvements that we plan as well. So which we feel good about. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from members of council. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess to first go on record is that our office has not received any adverse comment or opposition in any public meeting or any calls or anything to this concept. In fact, I think what you heard today is that the school district has welcomed it. A local church will benefit from it and be able to expand with safety. I have taken a look at these plans frontwards, backwards, and just about any other way that you can look at them, and tried to find things that are or aren't in there. What I have found is that it's walkable, it's bikeable, it's going to be transit-oriented. Infrastructure, from the standpoint of roadways and not, will be improved. You have a park and ride within a mile of the site. You have a fire station, a satellite fire station that's within a mile of the property with fire, rescue, and emergency medical. You have other shopping that's already out on Route 13, but with the Uber Crossing is another facility just south of Boyd's Corner Road that will also offer some shopping. There's another plan that's coming up at Boyd's Corner Route 13 that will be kind of a mixed use of office, shopping, and everything, and eventually residential. So when we talk about, I guess, refer back to smart growth, hamlets, villages, being able to develop the property to incorporate community services such as a YMCA is a tremendous, I think will be a tremendous asset to the adjoining community as well as the town center. And then to also have an offering, not saying that that's where we'll end up, but at least there is an offering of possible land for a library. So overall, you know, I think from my review as the district council person, as well as, you know, reviewing everything, it looks like a plan of the future, something that I think we should be proud of.
Coach Arrieta?
Thank you. Is there any target date when you're going to start any of this? Or any others, what are you going to start first? Are you going to do the town center, or are you going to do the homes?
We actually have started built. Let me just shift over. We already have started construction of homes at Bayberry North. So the first half amount of street is in. The model homes are here. There were almost two dozen families that would have moved in by the end of the year. So this is very vibrant and underway. As to the town center, we've not officially begun marketing. We were waiting for the record plan to go through before we undertook those efforts. We already have had an interest from a grocery store. A bank has talked about being there. So there's already interest. Ultimately, the pace of development obviously is determined by market forces. And like I said, we had the ability to develop this in a block like fashion one at a time. So it'll be very orderly development as the market demand picks up.
Thank you.
Mr. Sinichev, given the potential possibility of a library per se and a YMCA, does that kind of round out your public uses that you would be looking for on this, or do you have more space available?
That and we've from time to time talked about perhaps doing a school. So educational institution. There was discussion at one time about county, you know, special services wanting to do a park, community park here. So we are very open to the possibilities of blending a variety of public uses with our own private purposes, because that's what builds communities.
Thank you. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Mr. Sinichev, you have showed a dedication to new urbanism, which defies logic, and I applaud you. Given today's economic environment and the institutional impediments of our Unified Development Code, hopefully someday that will change. I have three questions. One, would you, if market forces allow, would you kindly consider liner stores for your supermarket? Second, if market forces allow, would you kindly consider vertical and horizontal integration, much as we discussed before?
Yes.
And I know you already told me you would. And thirdly, is that finger of land that you don't own properly master planned and integrated with your village?
This year?
The finger of land above it that you don't own.
Are you talking about this?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Actually, I'll answer your second and third question. The finger of land you're referring to is the proposed new community of Winchelsea. Okay. It has been rezoned to suburban transition. And if you look at that plan, it is absolutely seamless with what we are offering here. So we're very happy about that. It will have apartments, townhouses, and small lot single families designed in much the same fashion as the rest of our plan. Your question about vertical integration, we would very much like to do residential and office over retail. But you don't get to always do what you want. Market forces decide what you can do. We want to be cautious about it, because while it is really good in form, and it certainly balances out the community, when you do two or three uses together, they all have to unfold at the same time. So if you do retail stores, but the residential over it is vacant, that doesn't serve anybody well. Likewise, if you proceed with residential, the retail demand is not there. That's all can be equally as often. We have had an experience in Middletown where a similar community sold a lot of condos, but the retail did not materialize. So we want to be cautious about it. If the market demand is there, we have planned it so the residential and or office can be on top of retail, which will then lead to the need for additional parking. How we would provide the parking is through deck parking, so the ground floor can go into retail and the upper deck can go into office and residential. So it's well thought out. We hope that the market lets us do that.
And the liner stores, if market permits, I hope you'll consider it for the supermarket.
Now, for both of these, you need to come back to the council, because the modifying the record plan that you would hopefully approve, but we'll certainly do that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your answers. This is on the record, so you're now locked into that. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I was going to, we can get into this further under other. I was going to wait until then, but because we're here for the town center, but since you mentioned residential, and part of it's just about, you're, by the end of the year, you anticipate having some homes occupied in there?
Yes.
Okay. We've got a major problem coming in Newcastle County. Councilman Powers and I have been in discussions with Representative Longhurst, who is rapidly moving legislation forward. In light of the economic downturn, what seems to be happening that was not an issue before, to take a page from Johnny Cash, developers are turning streets over one street at a time to Del Dot. Communities that are supposed, they require a maintenance corporation, need a maintenance corporation for open space and ponds. They're now, as they complete a street that they don't need to access through, they're turning it over to Del Dot and telling the community, figure out your best way for snow removal. I ask you to keep in mind, I'm not happy with it. Councilman Powers is not. I don't think there's any elected officials going to be happy with it. So I hope you'll keep that in mind as you begin to develop in there. I mean, I we can take this up further at another meeting or in other, but since you mentioned, you almost, I just, it's an opportunity to throw that out there. Because if in my mind, it's disrespectful to the people that invest in the communities for the developer. And quite honestly, I think it's short-sighted for a developer's reputation to do something like that.
If I may respond to your question, while the community is very large, it has been divided up in 11 phases. So the first phase has 186 homes, which will follow about this boundary. We cannot turn over anything to the homeowners association till we are between 75% to 90%. Is that correct? 75%. So we cannot turn over anything to the community until 75% of the homes in that phase are completed.
Let me respond. I understand that. But what we're talking about, what's happening is the individual streets that don't get turned over to the community, they get turned over to Del Dot. And Del Dot is accepting them one street at a time, then the developer no longer has the responsibility to plow. And they're dumping that on the residents who have no organization together. So that's the point I made.
Association formed a very elaborate set of rules and regulations. We also ourselves will contribute our proportionate share. So if we happen to own 50 of the 100 lots in a given phase, we'll contribute 50% of the snow plowing. And we as committee members for their 50% share.
I understand. I think we're missing
the
point.
I'm sorry.
I think you'd probably take over us.
Hey, Councilman Powers.
No, that's fine.
It's not the only question. Just so you know, it has nothing to do with the maintenance court. It's the roads themselves. Del Dot's, you put the final coat on it, Del Dot's accepting them. There's no association to come up with a cost share from the state on snow removal. And I've had it happen a couple in my district, and it's really causing problems. So, knowing, you know, everybody's trying to cut costs, so they're giving the streets over so they don't have to plow them. And I think something's going to end up happening that doesn't happen. Because a civic association, there's no way the maintenance corp can be taken over because the subdivision isn't even 50% done. I've had two of them this way in the past year. It's not 50% done. The streets are getting turned over. And civic groups, nobody has to contribute to snow plowing. So you really got just a few people paying for the snow plowing that's getting up to 75%, but most of the time it's 45 to 50% of the state reimbursement. So they have to do a civic association to get the reimbursement, or else they're paying the whole thing. So it's not what you're used to. We're just telling you what's happening, and we're not liking it. And neither are the state reps and state senators. So it's the second time it's happened in my district. in the past year. I got a question, too. How many acres are the town center there?
About 70 acres.
70 acres. But the total town center, that's going to be the total amount?
Yes.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following this project through the course here, I have had conversation with Mr. Sineche, and quite frankly, taking a look at what has occurred in Odessa National concerned me equally with a development of this size and a town center and some of the problems that they've encountered with some of the amenities. And I think that I'd like to ask Mr. Sineche to touch on the fact of what they're doing as they build out each section as far as amenities, the different things in the development, if you would, sir.
Sure. Yeah. As I told the council, the property may be north divided up into 7 phases. So each phase has its own open spaces. This being phase 1 here has its own pocket parks, which are open spaces within the sub-communities. And as we develop the property, at the very outset, not waiting 3 years, we are actually improving the open spaces. This is a very nice handsome park within the sub-community. And there are almost a dozen different pocket parks. So we intend to develop these spaces and, you know, make the community very livable and beautiful as we go and not wait until the end. Over at the entrance, whether the county is someday interested in it or not, we're also working with private providers to create soccer fields, plan to do baseball fields. There's going to be a hiker biker trail surrounding this park, and we'll introduce basketball, tennis, whatever the demand is. We see picnic pavilions. It'll be very similar to the district park that the county most recently did at the Pike Creek, in Pike Creek at the Polly Terman and Paper Mill Road. Hundreds of families frequent such parks. So our idea is to bring the community in a variety of activities. Again, people bond that do things together. So as we go, it will all unfold. Over on the northern side, we plan to do a small clubhouse, about 4,000 square feet. You know, people that in small homes, they need space for get-togethers, birthday parties, graduations, reunions, lame neighborhood get-togethers. So we plan to do a nice clubhouse on overlooking this lake. This is going to be about 11 acre man-made lake. We already have an acre and a half lake out front pond that is much admired, and we plan to do a much bigger lake in the community. There'll be 2 or 3 different dot lots so children of different ages can play within the community. So, you know, a variety of activities are planned.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll kind of summarize this thing, because I think what you're hearing from the district council person is a very openness between the developer and myself as a district councilman, as well as neighboring properties, the school, and some of the residential. In reviewing the plan, the tot lot, recognizing that today, in today's environment with public safety, that having an open tot lot with smaller children in there and maybe no fence around as a perimeter to protect them children from a predator that could snatch a child and take off. Discussions were that Mr. Sineche is going to go back and look at that as far as possibly taking the tot lot and having some sort of a fencing around it to protect the children. The other thing was, based on some of our conversations about the Claymont Library and talking about stormwater management and lakes and things of that nature, we pointed out to Mr. Sineche about the problem that a lake is beautiful, can be very well received by a community, but it has an inherent problem with small children possibly wanting to get into the lake. And so, once again, welcome the questions, not criticism, but questions. And so the thing about it is they're going to take a look also at that lake about maybe being able to have some side of a barrier to deter children. So, and nothing, that's not guaranteed, but they're the kind of openness and discussions that, you know, I've had with the developers. We've gone along looking at the plan. So, thank you.
Is that an aesthetic lake or is that a stormwater lake?
It doubles up both as a stormwater pond and an aesthetic lake.
So by code, you're going to have to step it.
Yes, safety benches will be there.
Right.
But Councilman Bell's point is well taken. We are going to look into putting, without completely blocking the lake, putting a safety fence first to protect the children. So that's a very legitimate concern.
And I give credit to Councilman Street for raising the question so many times about the stormwater management ponds and everything, so I want to recognize that.
Well, children are very agile and mobile and, you know, can get around pretty easily. It's just older people that have a little harder time scaling those fences, so. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I wonder if you could put the town center board back up there, please. So this is 70 acres. To me, you know, the Main Street portion of it is kind of very similar to what you would encounter in, like, Reston, Virginia.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever been to Reston.
Yes.
And that's really quite successful, kind of attractive town center with a lot of vibrancy. The other question I have is, so this is going to go CR. This is rezoned CR.
Yes.
And you're able to mix the uses in CR. What is a percentage of mix that is allowed under the code? I never really thought of CR as, you know, allowing a mix of uses. Maybe you could just explain that a little more.
Can you speak to that?
Yeah. Dev Sitaram with Cadence and Associates, engineer for the project. This is not a mixed-use plan.
Right.
This is a CR.
Right.
It's a multiple-use plan is the way I would like to...
Multiple-use.
...to put it, because it has the office use as well as commercial use and a athletic club within it. So it has the total square footage of office is about 180,000 square feet.
Okay.
Compared with, which is... the percentage 560,000 is the total square footage, which is
about
a third of the square footage is office.
Okay.
And then the remainder is retail. We have the athletic club is about 60,000 square feet.
Right.
So 10% is athletic club, and then we have about a third, which is office use, and the remainder is retail use.
Okay. What if and I don't want to speak for the district council people. If you have a library there, what kind of square footage would that?
That is about 63,000 square feet. That's another 10% of the total square footage. If the library were to go there, this is the building that is anticipated it will occupy.
And the building size can be flexible depending on the needs. The county at the time. You can start out small. We heard numbers like 25,000 square feet. The building can start small, but it provides for expansion up to 60,000 square feet.
The square footage you're proposing on that 70-acre site, is that the allowable limit, or is that it's not built out to its limit? Or
no, it's not built out to its limit.
Okay.
There's a lot more. The FAR that is permitted in the CR zone allows significantly more square footage.
Okay.
And that's where the...
And building height, too.
The right. Building height, exactly. The building height as well as the square footage is permitted. And that's where we have the possibility of coming back if there is a demand for second floor office or second floor residential. So there is the potential of adding square footage to this plan.
What percentage of the what I'm looking at is parking lot?
The parking, in terms of total area of, that is dedicated to it,
the buildings are about 10 acres. The paved area is about 30 acres, and 20 acres will be open. 20 or 28 acres will be open.
About 50% of it is going to be is parking, paved, roadways and parking.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councilman Bell?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, not to belabor, but I just want to make one point for the record, and that is that while this particular developer has offered space for the potential future of a library, Southern Library, just for the record, that we've also had the development of Whitehall that will be coming about in the future, another very smart growth hamlet village, walkable, you know, bikeable type community that's being that will be built in the future. And so there's also some farmland and whatnot that we're looking at. So commend them for offering, but no commitment has been made on the part of the county as of yet. But what's kind of interesting is we're actually getting offerings in this type of setting where people can walk and bike and transit oriented to go to the library and everything. So.
Also, I'd just like to make mention here, just backing up slightly, seeing my notes. We did hear from Councilman Sheldon and Councilwoman Kilpatrick. They were not able to make the meeting. Well, I have to say, you presented a very, very unique concept. You've given us a very unique vision here. You really have a very healthy city planted in my mind. I almost envision maybe a Whole Foods in your supermarket and maybe a no smoking complex and get rid of the cars.
Hey, hey. We ain't bothering you on there.
Well, thank you.
Digital questions.
Eden Square has a Lowe's for sale if you want it.
Questions for members of the public? Okay, we'll look forward to seeing you again Tuesday night.
Bill, thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone, don't get the library.
Next item on the agenda, Councilman Powers.
Yes. I have a plan, Meridian Crossing. You want to speak on it, Terry?
Good afternoon. My name is Jerome Heisler, general partner of the Rabel Group. Before you today is just the record plan, which is being presented to you for recordation. We've been in front of you two or three times at this point. Last time was for the deed restrictions to be modified and reported, and now we're ready to have the retro plan done for the twins that were converted from single family homes. We've already sold about five of them, so we have a significant amount of interest in them, and we're ready to go. Does anyone have any questions at this point?
Questions for members of council? Councilman Powers?
I think we've already, this is the same piece in the back, right?
Yes, sir.
Off the Old Porter Road.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes.
Questions for members of the public? Seeing none, we look forward to seeing you again Tuesday night.
Thank you, sir.
Next item on the agenda. This is for the declaration for restrictions to cover the square. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, in the interest of time, I'm going to make one comment just for further clarification, and I'll pass it off to the applicant. I sent an email to everyone, hopefully within a very short time of when the agenda came out, for clarification. This deed restriction change is not relevant to the eastern side of Route 7. It has nothing to do with the parcel that was before us before. This is the parcel where the Bear Library sits on property that was donated by the property owner here, and where the new ShopRite is currently being built. So with that, I'll pass it on to Mr. Tarabigos.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of council. Thanks for having us this afternoon. I represent Governor Square Associates, and Mr. Collins is here, Governor Square, and Tom Prusak, who's the project engineer. It just things have been awfully quiet around here lately, so I thought a deed restriction change for Governor Square might spice things up a little bit.
You packed the house out here tonight, so go ahead.
It's early. This is actually fairly simple and straightforward. It's a proposed amendment to the deed restrictions that apply to the shopping center, as Mr. Smiley pointed out, the existing shopping center. This is Route 7 here, so across Route 7 is the Governor Square that we dealt with back in August. And this basically is a request to council to avoid having to tear down viable square footage to accommodate the ShopRite coming in. So these deed restrictions were entered into in 1988. There's been no change for 23 years. It's been 300,000 square feet. We've never requested a change. It's never been increased in size. As you know, earlier this year, Safeway announced that it was shutting its doors, and we were fortunate enough through some very good discussions and negotiations with ShopRite to get ShopRite to come in instead. And it's going to be a great addition to the center and a real enhancement for the community. The difference is that the Safeway was 53,000 square feet and the ShopRite is 63,000 square feet. So there's a 10,000 square foot difference. We had to find a way to accommodate that. Because this is a pre-UDC plan, the deed restrictions at the time they were entered into dealt with gross leasable area. Leasable area is measured from the inside wall. Gross floor area, which is what the UDC measures, is measured from the outside wall. So we lost square footage there because of that. But we still have roughly 3,400 square feet left that's unbuilt. So what we would have to do is we would have to tear down 6,500 square feet that's highlighted in yellow in order to accommodate the increased square footage. We made plans, we already filed a record plan, revised record to do that. There was a suggestion at the planning board that we were waiting till last minute and then come in and asking for your help. But we're prepared to do that if that's what council decides. We just think it's a waste and it's a shame to have to tear down square footage that's otherwise leasable and usable. But we've gone through the proper steps that if we have to, and just one of the things so you know is ShopRite's making an $8 million investment here, and the Deladon organization is making another $4 million investment into this ShopRite store. So it has to be done, it has to be done quickly, and ShopRite, in order to take advantage of some of the Obama tax credits, must be open before the end of the year. So we've been working very, very diligently with the department to take all steps to, if we have to tear down square footage, we will. But we've also hustled to get this before you in time so that you guys can take a look at it and say, yeah, that seems foolish. There's no adverse impact to the community. There's no adverse impact to the area's infrastructure. It's a 3.3% increase, so it's really, really minor. And it was unanimously endorsed by the planning board. And actually, it was interesting, that day at the planning board business meeting, one member of the board did vote against a couple of the applications, but even he voted for this one. So it was unanimously endorsed. Land Use Department's recommendations spell it out really well. I would also point out that I personally drafted the resolution, so it's clear and it says what property applies to. It's not just the tax parcel number, so there's no confusion there. I'm not saying that, I mean, in jest, yeah. Seriously, it was done so that everybody understood what was going on. So, you know, with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I just want to comment that yes, you know, the structures that you're looking at in yellow, they're already there. In fact, they did have occupants in them who were relocated in order to meet the need for ShopRite to get under construction.
Yes.
I've had no complaints or opposition from the local neighbors, and I say that because, you know, depends on your definition of local. There has been one opponent from Main Street, Christiana. Okay, so anybody knows where Governor Square is? You know where Main Street Christiana is. Don't think she can see it, but there was one opposition there. One of the things right out of the chute was that Mr. Charbicos and Dylan, they met with the community in the area, the close communities. One of the issues I'm sure all of us deal with in areas adjacent to any type of a shopping commercial establishment is the profusion of shopping carts into the communities, constant complaints. That was raised, blink of an eye, ShopRite agreed, they will install the underground locking system so the carts don't push off the site. So, I mean, just right out of it, they've been very, very accommodating. And this is one of the Kinney family ShopRites, which as I recall, I couldn't get the article back out of the news journal, I couldn't bring it up, but recently there was an article about the supermarkets in the area, and they are the best bargain for groceries for the people of Delaware at their supermarkets with the lowest prices. So I can tell you the people are tickled to death. And you know, at every meeting we hear how there's no market for it. There's no market for it. I want to commend Mr. Deladon for his quick outreach. I understand he had two people vying for this site right after Safeway left. And you know, he did his due diligence to bring a center in there to lessen the impact on the residents of the area, and I think it's a good move, and I'll have no problem signing it if necessary.
I'd just like to echo,
I'm for you.
Now we're gonna line up.
I too am excited about, you know, the ShopRite going down there and the potential that it has to serve the community. I'm not far just down the street from this. I had actually disclosed some discussions with Dave Culver several months ago about when ShopRite announced coming in there and what potentially might have to happen. I think it'd be a very foolish move on your part, and hopefully us being a body who is not afraid of controversy, that, you know, you wouldn't end up having to tear down a store just in order to get the plan through, because it's there, and that is one of the few shopping centers that is not sitting with a bunch of proliferated vacant stores. So obviously, you know, there is the need there, and they have it. You have absolutely plenty of parking there. You know, nobody is filling up that lot, and I'm by it almost every day. So I would hope that you would be able to expedite your plan, get it through, and not have to tear down parts of the stores in order to do it. Questions from members of council? Councilman Cartier?
Since this is a pre-UDC plan, I guess a lot of the ways that they controlled development on the site was through deed restrictions.
Yes.
Right? That was a common thing that happened.
Oh, yes.
You know, not so common now.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah, I don't think I've done hardly any deed restrictions since the adoption of the UDC.
Since they run
back then, we used to do them all the time.
Since they run to the county, you have to come to make any
change
correct. To council.
That's correct.
Right. Thank you.
Additional questions, members of council? Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. This is very similar to the deed restrictions that I spearheaded to change the pre-UDC deed restriction on the Brandywine Town Center, which was based upon GLA, gross leasable area, which basically kept the owner, current owner, from being able to utilize the common area space for kiosks. It left the big dome unutilized. It was an unintended consequence, and I'm pleased that Land Use Department got rid of GLA and moved to GFA. It required a deed restriction change at Brandywine Town Center as well. This is this certainly makes sense to support.
Councilman Smiley.
And I just want to clarify. We got the reporter here. This will not be on the consent calendar. I got to cover all my bases here.
Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I, too, adjoin opposite across the street. I'm actually behind the railroad tracks now. I'll be moving frontwards out to Route 40 and down south of 7. You know, I get down here just about every day between Chick-fil-A and some of the other things, Wachovia, Wells Fargo Bank there and everything. It's a very well-managed shopping center. As was mentioned, we're very fortunate that the facilities there have tenants. The ShopRite family, I think, has a tremendous reputation. They just don't build a supermarket just to build a supermarket. They take a look at what the marketing is in the area and how successful it'll be. And for anyone that has gone by there and seen the construction that's gone on, the commitment to make things right, I think it'll be a compliment to the shopping center.
Councilman Powers?
I am across the street right now until next year.
In front of the railroad tracks.
Yeah, between the railroad tracks and that. But really, a year ago, I was campaigning. A major concern was with the shopping center, the grocery store going out. And there were a lot of constituents that wanted a grocery store in there. So it's what the community that lives close to it wants. And, you know, even with the problems that were across the road, was maybe not what the community locally, it's more what they wanted is what happened. But there was concern over the grocery store, and I'm glad there's somebody in there or going to be in there.
Councilman Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think someone mentioned the Kenny brothers, maybe applicant did, but I think they do a tremendous job in all of their facilities that I'm aware of here in Newcastle County. It's not just about a company coming in to only make money. Obviously, they want to make money as well. But the last project in the city of Wilmington, where they built the shopping center not too far from here, the supermarket, they went above and beyond, I think, what any of us had anticipated. Their contributions to the community activities, or also with their employment. people that work in that shop, in that particular shop, right, are people that were trained, a lot of the people from the Southbridge area who live in that area, work in those stores, and they were trained over at Goodwill. It's an ongoing continuum of them trying to reach out to make certain that people are employed from the local community. And I just think that they've done an excellent job. It's much more than just building a building. And the other thing, I think it's necessary to have the additional 10,000 square feet of footage, because the way supermarkets are being built today, you don't find a lot of supermarkets that are being built in the fashion that we used to see them. And there's a fear, even from one of the supermarkets in my district, the one that's in my district, the Acme over at 14th and DuPont Street, where they did some renovations and the whole community just got out of whack because they thought the place was going to shut down. But people know that today's supermarkets require much more space than they did in the past. So I think it's a very positive thing and a very fortunate thing that the developer was able to get the interest of a shop right in the Kennedy Brothers to invest here, because I just think it's a win-win situation.
Councilman Street.
Fact of the matter is, this is the second grocery store that's tried in there.
Correct.
I'm sorry, say that again.
It's the second grocery store that's tried in there.
Yes.
No, okay. The third.
I'm familiar with the previous one.
Right.
And one of the challenges, business, is that you have small areas to check out. So then you have small areas, and then you got long lines, and so a couple times I was in there, I said, let me get out and see if I come back. And there are a whole lot of folks with similar kinds of things. So in order to do what needs to be done, because you invest that kind of money, you're in it to win it, and there is some competition around, I'm not going to say where it is. You need the additional space just to be able to operate the store the way of the shop rights that I'm familiar with operate, so it just makes good business sense. And if you don't do it, two have already not succeeded. So then if you don't do it, then you end up with the possibility of a vacant building. Once this becomes vacant, now you got a problem with the rest of the tenants looking at a vacant building and its impact on their business.
And two, just quickly, a point of clarification. Although inadvertently, a ShopRite will be going in here, and obviously we all love ShopRite, you know, this is a declaration change for square footage that will inadvertently allow the ShopRite to go in there. We're not approving a ShopRite. So.
Well, they're in and they're working, and they will be.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's moving along.
I live in Councilman Street District, and I live across the street from the newest ShopRite. I've been there for over 2 years, and I go there all the time, and they are. The best thing about them, I'll say, is what Mr. Holland said. They're very community-oriented people. They're like no other supermarket I've seen. I had a friend of mine went the other day on the way up to an Eagles tailgate party, and she stopped to get some extra food. She said, I've never been in the supermarket where people are this friendly and helpful.
That's the first thing I noticed there. I stop there all the time, too. The people are absolutely appreciative of jobs. They're super friendly. They're coming up to you all the time asking you, what can they help you with? It's a very, very inviting, pleasant store.
Must be related to me.
Mm-hmm. Additional questions? Councilman Cardia?
I think it's just a comment. I mean, it's all about local ownership, having pride in the business that they serve local people with. And I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, business today, unfortunately, you know, multinational business or giant national businesses, they don't have that kind of care for the particular local marketplace where they operate. So,
any questions from the public? Okay, look forward to seeing you on Tuesday night.
Thank you.
Anybody have anything under other?
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Bell.
Can't help but to say this, but I think how refreshing it's been this afternoon for this council to have four different plans to come before us, and all four of the plans taken into consideration the surrounding communities, the nature of the business today, as well as smart growth. And I can't help but to believe that, these particular plans are the way this government and the way the people would like to see business done. So this is a very refreshing afternoon for me.
You ought to come around more often.
I'm here.
We have these all the time.
Any public comment?
Have you heard any bad ones?
Yes, it's other.
Always like
following
that.
His remarks, I was contacted by David Burt, the chairman of the Board of Adjustment. And as you all know, the Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial board. It's a very important board of this government that grants dimensional variances and hears special use permits. And he was extremely concerned and expressed his concern to me because they've had one resignation. They have an additional person who will probably resign because of health issues, and he's extremely concerned about the quorum, having qualified people to hear the variance requests. So he just wants new appointees. So I told him that I would bring this to the council, that there are vacancies and we need to find more candidates for the Board of Adjustment. So I brought Mr. Harmon to the table. I brought Mr. Burt to the table here, and I think it's incumbent upon all of us, especially with this particular board, to find people out in the community who want to serve, to hear these this quasi-judicial board, to hear these requests for variances. So,
I think it's important that we do our due diligence to keep all the boards doing. Whether we recruit applicable candidates to try to place around to Councilman Powers.
Which district was the person that resigned?
He was from Hokesson, so I don't know.
Yeah, because a lot of them are out of certain districts. So.
Right.
I don't think they're related to districts per se.
Yeah, they are.
Board of Adjustment
assessment is, but I'm.
It isn't.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
Really?
But we.
I don't think so.
I don't think the law requires it, and we as a council agreed to take them from wherever we can get them, those double boards.
Right.
I believe General Manager Dave Culver has risen.
General Manager, since council expanded to 13, most of the board members, you don't have that number, so Board of Adjustment was always 7.
Right.
So they try to get a fair representation throughout the county. Before, you could have one in each district when you had 6 plus council president. But now it's, you try to get the best.
I guess what I was saying is, I think Councilman Bell and I have somebody on that board.
Steve, I think geographically we just try to get a fair representation because you can't specifically pick districts.
Let's just have an overall search. You know, as we bring people forward, and let's note. I mean, I don't know if we've had a report.
I think I will.
If I may,
I think Kristen has been in gym.
Mr. Dwyer probably has not heard anything, just like I have from the Board of Adjustment. We have not heard anything. But just to make it clear, the Board of Adjustment, there are no district restrictions on the Board of Adjustment.
Right.
They're at large, for lack of terminology. They're not written. And they're all appointed by the county executive. We only have consent.
On the Board of Adjustment?
On the Board of Adjustment.
Okay.
I just want to say, I mean, I saw the sign. I think most recently is probably the first time they didn't have a quorum. I mean, I try to make it there quite frequently. But aside from the request for people, the last time I was there before they got started, part of the discussion was, and you'll probably hear this eventually too, they would also like more money. As I'm sure all the boards that get compensated would.
Well, increase the fees. Councilman Hall.
Yeah, I think it was maybe not necessarily coded, but as someone mentioned, it was pretty much the way council operated before the expansion, that you had someone from each district.
Right.
You didn't want to have everyone on the Board of Adjustment from one particular area of the county. So even though with some of the other boards, you share, Jay and I would share someone from the area, as opposed to just saying, okay, let's just get everybody from one area. The other thing I've encouraged, and we all do as council, when chairs come before us, we encourage them to come to us to communicate with council so we'll be aware of their challenges. And that came up with another board that, someone contacted me saying, well, we don't have the meetings and so forth. But I think it's incumbent upon, as I said then, the chairs to communicate with us so we'll be aware and we can move forward with whatever action we need to take and then find out, if it's geographical, if it's a political persuasion and so forth. Is it a council vacancy or is it an executive vacancy and those kinds of things?
Councilman Swan?
And I just want to comment briefly. I think Kristen's done a great job with the with the website for boards and commissions. I know, I just keep referring them there, and I think that's been a big plus to us bringing people in as well. So I think it'll be too long.
Oh, they are ours?
Six
are ours.
The chairman is.
Oh. Well, I at this point, I want to commend our council to council, who has actually just brought to the point, correcting some misinformation that we presented with just a few minutes ago, that the chair is actually appointed by the executive. The rest come from us, but there are no geographical boundaries for that. Thank you, council to council, for your due diligence in that. Councilman Cartier?
Yeah, and just for the record, I communicated to David Byrd that he was more than welcome to come to this council personally to talk about these concerns. So I'm just trying to communicate his concern to the council, and I'm sure, you know, that he at some point will be in front of us to talk about the Board of Adjustment, because they have an annual report that they deliver to us as well. So.
Well, I too would hope with Kristen and Jim that, you know, they were, you know, on this before a chairman, you know, would reach out with concerns too. So I'll be to you. I always take the council members first. So Councilman Hollins?
That being the case with the information you have, then it's certainly incumbent upon us as council know where this person resided, where they came from, or these people, and then we would know who needs to get busy getting someone there. Mm-hmm.
Council Powers asked that.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, he did.
But then that's when this information was presented that it wasn't ours. Right. So.
He said Hocassin.
Right. I thought he said the person that reported it was from Hocassin. Or was the vacancy from Hocassin?
The person who resigned was from Hocassin.
Okay. All
now,
right,
I was not clear that there were any geographical, you know.
Well, who's the person who said?
Well, there is not.
I don't think I can really talk about it.
Okay.
You know.
It's an engineer?
I don't know.
Oh, yes. Ms. Dwyer, did you have?
Sure, Kristen Dwyer, the executive officer. I just want to clarify, because you kindly said that, you know, Jim and I were on it before you guys moved on it, but I did not receive any resignation letter from the member of the board, so this is actually the first I've heard about it. I will certainly reach out to that person, reach out to Mr. Burt, and get the skinny on what's happening and follow up appropriately, so I apologize.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for looking into this. Jim Boyle?
If I may, hate to contradict. This says we have consent. We don't have we don't appoint. We just consent to the appointment.
Okay. Well, we'll get clarification, and now's not the time to debate it. So, anything other from the public? That's it? Okay. Members of council, that's it?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Okay.
This
right. So let's.
For the record, Jim has been determined to be right.
Yes.
Mark your calendars.
So tell the executives that we're expecting his names quickly.
So Paul, see what he can bring. Tell Paul, see who he can bring back from Italy.
We need him quick.
18 and above.